Hello, Washington, D.C. And all over the nation, greeting family and Shiloh Baptists and all of the advocates and devotees of the Poor People's Campaign and National Call for Moral Revival, my dear loved friend and sister, co-chair, Reverend Dr. Liz Theo Harris, my brother, Graylin, Reverend Graylin, and to Yara, our theomusicologist, to Reverend Erica and Clinton, and everybody that's had any part in us coming together tonight. I was headed to Washington a couple of weeks ago and contacted a bacterial infection, which means if I would give up almost being on the road every other week and just take some time and recover from that infection. Reminded me while I was dealing with this of how many people don't have health insurance and can't go, and how indeed our society, the very bloodstream of our society, has been infected and continues to be infected with racism and classism and militarism, and how we must be the cleansing antibiotic of this time and of this season. We're getting ready now to hear from persons who are impacted. And I want to say a little bit about why we must have a Poor People's Campaign, a national call for a moral revival. When a budget director on Ash Wednesday, as we saw last week, can go on TV, put a cross on his forehead, and talk about passing policies that will cut 7 million people from heat assistance, and millions of people from Medicare expansion. And he's saying that to people who get free health care simply because they got elected to be senators and House members of the House of Representatives. And when literally we are a nation that said banks are too big to fail, so we give them cash bailouts, even though they're corporate crooks. But then we want to give poor people boxes of food, not even fresh food. We need a moral movement. Poor People's Campaign and a national call for moral revival. When leaders of both parties, whether Democrat or Republican, claim that they have reached a compromise on a budget. One side, the Republicans, say they've done right by the military. Another side, the Democrats, say they've done right by the middle class. And there are 148 million people that are either poor or working poor, and they don't even talk about how the budget impacts the poor. We need a moral movement, a Poor People's Campaign. When we are 53 years this year from the Voting Rights Act, and we have less voting rights today than we had 53 years ago after August 6, 1965, and when we can literally put up a map and show that the 23 to 25 states that have passed racialized voter suppression laws are the same states that have the highest levels of poverty and the highest need for health care and the greatest attack on our immigrant brothers and sisters and the greatest attacks on the LGBTQ community, and the lowest wage jobs and the lowest density of unions. And when we see people who use racialized voter suppression like Trump and Ryan and others to get elected, but once they get elected, they then use their power to pass policies that hurt mostly white people and women and children because they make up the greatest amount of the poor, we need a moral movement. When D.C. still has no statehood, and thousands and thousands and thousands of people are do not have representation, but they are being taxed every day, we need a moral movement. When we refuse to stop the sale of assault rifles, but we rush to cut health care and rush to ban DACA students, we need a Poor People's Campaign and a national call for a moral revival. When we allow greedy corporations to destroy the environment. And when you can buy unleaded gas but can't buy unleaded water, we need a moral revival and a poor people's campaign. When we have leaders that want to fund the war machine and fund a racist border wall, but then defund poverty programs and refuse to pay people a living wage and refuse to protect labor unions and try to kick out immigrants from this country with new rules, that if the same rules were in place when their grandmothers from Europe and other places tried to come here, they wouldn't have been able to get in. We need a moral move. And all my brothers and sisters in the clergy, when we have preachers claiming to be representing God, and they're so loud when it comes to being against gay people, and so loud when it comes to being against abortion, and so loud when it comes to prayer in the school, and so loud when it comes to supporting tax cut welfare to the greedy at the tune of trillions of dollars, and then claiming that Trump, for instance, is the will of God, and then those same preachers say nothing about racism and poverty and stopping the sale of assault guns. We must have a movement that challenges it, because it's nothing but modern day heresy and hypocrisy. And this must be a movement rooted in love, not in hate, a movement rooted in truth, not in lies. Because something is wrong in the hearts of people when they gain power and then use that power to inflict pain on other people. I pity them more than I hate them. When you can get power and then use power to hurt the poor and the least of these, there is a deep question before us. How much do you have to dehumanize yourself in order to dehumanize other people? Rabbi Heschel, the great Jewish prophet, told America in 1960, he sent a letter to John F. Kennedy at the time, a Democrat, and said to him, "You forfeit the right, this nation forfeits the right to even worship God when you're on the wrong side of justice." Howard Thurman once said, who was the dean at Howard School of Theology, he once said that we rupture the unity with God anytime we participate in racism and discrimination and attacks on the dispossessed. Just this week, Mary Wright Edelman, who led and helped write the policies for the original Poor People's Campaign, said to this to America, "When are we going to protect the children and not the guns?" So my friends, the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for a moral revival, is not about Democrat. It's not about saving a party. It's not about Democrats or Republicans. It's about saving the soul of a nation. Because the real question before us right now in this third reconstruction is America even possible? It's about whether or not we believe in the deep moral principles found in Christianity and Islam and Judaism and so many other great religions. Those great principles that say a nation is judged by how they treat the least of these. The question before us is, do we believe and are we willing to stand in the great moral constitutional tradition that teaches us that the only freedom worth having is one that ensures domestic tranquility, establishes justice, provides for the common defense, and promotes the general welfare? And that's why the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for a moral revival, is doing this. That's why we're called all over the country. This is not because this is the 50th anniversary of the Poor People's Campaign and the assassination of Dr. King. Let me be very clear. First of all, you don't commemorate an assassination. You don't celebrate an assassination. If anything, you reach down in the blood and pick up the baton and carry it the rest of the way. But not only that. The original Poor People's Campaign was not just Dr. King, it was 25 other. There are people in that audience tonight My dear sister from Maryland and others that made the march, that pushed, that became what Dr. King called that unsettling force, and they were thrown out of the shanty. 25 other organizations, National Welfare Rights Workers, Jews, and others came together. And it's unfinished work. We have an audit now. It was done by the IPS, Institute for Policy Studies, and the Urban Institute, and impacted people and scholars. And we've done it. It's called The Souls of Poor Folk, Auditing America 50 Years After. Hope you'll all go get it. It's online. And that audit clearly shows that systemic racism, systemic poverty, ecological devastation, war economy, and militarism, and the distorted national morality are five issues that must be dealt with together. You can't deal with them separately. They must be dealt with together, and they require a national moral revival and a revolution of values. That's why we're now organizing 1,000 people in 32 states. We need 2,000 in D.C. to engage in 40 days of direct action, necessary civil disobedience, voter mobilization, and power building among the poor, not to end a movement, but to launch a movement and to shift the narrative in this country. We had 26 presidential debates during the last election, and not 1 hour on racism and voter suppression, not 1 hour on poverty, not 1 hour on the negative impact of militarism. We must shift the narrative, because if the narrative is wrong, the agenda will be wrong. And this movement must be with the poor. Let me say that again, with the poor, not for the poor, not paternalistically, but with the poor. And clergy and moral leaders must join and conspicuously challenge in collars, in clothing, in whatever religious garb. We must conspicuously leave our pulpits and leave our sanctuary and turn the streets into our sanctuary and turn the steps of state capitals and the steps of the United States Capitol and the offices into sanctuary to challenge what is going on. And we must do it in our deepest nonviolent tradition. And so that's why tonight, after I speak, the first voices you will hear will be testified. Impacted persons who will lead this movement, who we will stand with. We will put a face on the pain, because we need a political Pentecost in America. Oh yeah, I'm part Pentecost. We need black and white and brown and red and yellow and gay and straight and north and south and east and west, and Jews and Christians and Muslims and people who don't necessarily have a religious faith but believe in deep moral principles, and Unitarians. We need all of them coming together. Young people and old people, wealthy people who got enough sense to know that their wealth is a responsibility to fight for justice. Poor people who say, I'm not going to just allow people to step on me and not say anything. We need all of those coming together so we can speak with new tongues and act with new power. Last thing we can do is sit down and say nothing. As I close, Liz, somebody asked me one day, they said, where did you all come up with this idea of Poor People's Campaign, a national call for a moral revival? I said, well, three things. First of all, every age has to have moral dissenters. The abolitionists did it in their time. The women who fought for women's suffrage, they did it in their time. The bonus marches during the 1920s and when during around the time that the stock markets crashed, they did it in their time. The social gospel movement did it in their time. The slave preachers did it in their time. The civil rights movement and SNCC and all others did it in their time. So we're just standing where history has always told us that we have to stand up. You cannot be quiet. You can't tweet some things away. You can't email some things away. You have to have a movement. And a movement where everybody can come together for a period of time that can actually benefit all of the movements. Because all of the movements we see happening are the birth pain. Even talk, have children now talking about marching on D.C. in March over guns. Because it's time. But I want you to know, finally, This wisdom comes straight out of the Bible. The book of Amos, many of us know that passage where it says, let justice roll down like waters, but righteousness like a mighty stream. But before you get to that passage, there's another passage, Amos chapter 5, verse 12, and it gives us some marching orders that are as old as the Bible, but as powerful as the present moment and the presence of the Spirit. Here they are, and I'll read it to you in the Message Bible, and I'm through tonight, because I want you to hear these testifies, and I want you to hear Dr. Harris, and I want you to sign up tonight, D.C. We need 2,500 from D.C. to help us mobilize. But here it is, chapter 5 of Amos, verse 12, in the Message Bible. It says, listen, people hate truth kind of talk. Raw truth is never popular, but here it is. Here it is in what the nation needs to hear. Because you have run roughshod over the poor, because you take bread right out of the poor people's mouths, you're never going to move into your luxurious home that you built. You're never going to drink wines from the expensive vineyards you have down at Mar-a-Lago. Excuse me, that's not there. That's just a little ad. It says, I know precisely the extent of your violation. America, I know the enormity of your sins. It's appalling. This is what's happening. You have politicians who bully right-living people. They take bribes right and left, and they kick the poor when they're down. To some people, it looks like justice is a lost cause and evil is epidemic, and some decent people are throwing up their hands and just giving up, saying that protest and rebuke are useless. But I need some people, God says, who will seek good and not evil. I need some people who will choose to live and not die. You talk about the God of the angel army being your best friend, America, nation. Well, if God is your best friend, then the nation ought to live like it. And the only way the nation can prove that you truly honor God is to hate evil and love God. And then you've got to work it out in the public policies. You've got to work it out in public square. And if you do that, then God may see the nation and be gracious. Verse 16 says, so this is what God says. I need a remnant. If the nation is going to be saved, I need a remnant. I need a remnant that will go into the streets and cry loudly and lament over what is going on. I need a remnant that will fill the malls and the shops with the cries of doom. I need a remnant that will weep loudly and say, not me, not us, not now. We can't take it anymore. I need a remnant that will empty the offices, empty the stores, empty the factories, empty the workplaces, and enlist everybody in a general lament calling for national repentance. And God says in this final verse, I want to hear you cry so loud, because when I hear you cry, then God says, I'll come help you. Could it be that God can't really help us until we get in the streets, until we challenge the systems of injustice? Until we cry and wail and mourn and make it clear that the poor and racism will not be ignored. But if we do that, if a remnant will do it, if 25,000 people will do it, if 25 states in the District of Columbia will do it, and if we'll stand together simultaneously, we can change the narrative in this country. We can invite divine assistance to help us, and we can refuse to give up on this democracy and this world. I tell you, it's time for a poor people's campaign and a national call for moral revival. God bless you and love you tonight.